According to surveys of thousands upon thousands of Americans, fewer people are going to church. And among the youngest generations of adults, fewer people, even fewer people than that, believe in God. The research has also found, though, that even though participation in organized religion is down, more people say that they are spiritual in other ways. So today we bring in church officials from Western Wisconsin to find out whether the national trends hold true for our local churches and what the impacts are on our local churches. That's this hour on the West Side. I'm Rich Kramer, and joining me in studio, I'd like to welcome Reverend Amy Odgrind. Reverend Odgrind is a pastor at the newly formed Spirit Lutheran Church in Eau Claire. Reverend Odgrind, welcome to the West Side.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to have you. Joining us by phone is Jack Felsheim. Jack is the Director of Communications for the Catholic Diocese of La Crosse. He joins us by phone from La Crosse. Jack Felsheim, thanks for being on the program.
Rich, thanks for having us, and thanks for allowing us to be part of your program this morning.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure. Listeners, we'd like to hear from you as well. I want to know how our listeners practice their faith. Do you go to church? Do you see changes in the church's congregation? Or do you practice a spirituality or a faith in a different way? The number is 1-800-228-5615. Also, if you've got a question or a comment for either of our guests, please feel free to drop a line. Or you can also post on the West Side Facebook page. And also, this program will be archived, so you can listen later. That being said, all right, let's begin. These are the statistics, as reported by Pew Research. Among all U.S. adults, fewer people are identifying themselves as religious. That's very general. I'm trying to be as general as I can in the beginning. Between 2007 and 2014, Pew noted a decline in people who believed in God, those who pray daily, and those who attend church services at least once a month. So what do you make of this? And Reverend Odgrind, I'd like to start with you first.
Well, I think we certainly see that playing out in our congregations. I had been the pastor of First Lutheran Church, an evangelical Lutheran church in America, church in Eau Claire. Mm-hmm. And we had seen a significant drop in our membership over the last several years. I think churches have always struggled with, you know, what is it that, what trends are happening to make these changes so visible in our congregations? Constitutionally, the ELCA invites their congregational councils to look at their membership roles and try to clean up those roles on at least an every other year basis. And in doing so, we had seen that there was at least a 37% drop in membership over the last 5 years. And so with that, that congregation was taking it upon themselves to think about, well, you know, how can we be the church in this new age and still be diligent and committed to who we are as Christians in this world.
And we'll get to the decision to eventually consolidate with another church. 37% decline. Now, what about in the diocese, the churches in the diocese, Jack Felsheim?
Yeah, so we have five churches in the Eau Claire area. We have Father Moret at Immaculate Conception. Mm-hmm. We have Father Oudenhoven at the Newman Parish, serving the campus there in Eau Claire. We have Father Craig, and he's at St. James the Greater Parish, serving over on the west side there. We have Father Hoffman, and he's at St. Olaf Parish. And we also have Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is one of our pilgrimage sites for our Year of Mercy that we're celebrating. I'm sure a lot of your listeners have heard Pope Francis has declared this the Year of Mercy. And so we're one of our parishes there in Eau Claire has this special designation. Hmm. But you're right. I mean, we're definitely on track with what Reverend has talked about, that the attendance and I guess you could also say participation at our parishes is lacking. You know, it's lower than we would certainly like it, and we're putting a lot of things in place to try to help bolster that as best we can.
I will say I want to talk the research is really comprehensive, and it also mentioned that among the religiously affiliated that folks say that they've grown more observant in years. So I think that's really interesting caveat as well. But what – and for millennials, here's a breakdown. I mean, the greatest generation, 72%, say that religion is very important to them. 51% of that generation attend religious services weekly or biweekly. Baby boomers, a big change, 59% say religion is very important. 38% attend services weekly. And then for millennials, only 41% say that religion is important to them. 27% attend religious services weekly. So are we seeing – is this a generational thing, Amy Ogren, Reverend Ogren?
Well, I think it's a – yes, it's a generational thing. But I think with that, it's also a cultural shift that we're seeing. You know, those the greatest generation, or the great generation, and those statistics that you were naming in this Pew research show that, you know, in their time of child rearing and raising their families, the church was a central part of the community. Mm-hmm. That was the place where not only their faith could be, you know, enhanced and stretched and shared and so forth, but it was also a place where, you know, their connection with others in the community happened. And the church sort of took that central place in the community as the gathering place.
Right.
And we know that the shifts that we've seen in our own culture is that, you know, we have those gathering places in many areas. And so the church is no longer the central spot in the community for getting together with your neighbors, getting together with people who share the same, you know, faith base as you.
Yeah, I mean, you can just look, driving through any town, smaller town, or even in Eau Claire, the downtown, you see the church stands, or a church stands looming as a central location. Jack Felsheim, do you think that, I mean, now with extracurriculars, you know, if you're a parent with kids, you've got hockey practice, you've got basketball, you've got all these things that are scheduled on a Wednesday night or a Saturday or a Sunday. It is. Do you think that's taking away from some of the opportunity to attend church?
Well, you're absolutely right, Rich. The family is being stretched in all kinds of directions. And I really liked what Reverend Ogren was pointing out, you know, earlier. If you look at some of the churches as they were built, they were certainly built around nationalities. We have a lot of German influence, a lot of Italian, a lot of Irish influence, a lot of Polish influence. And, you know, as far as our churches are concerned, we'll have, you know, the Polish church and the German church, you know, within three blocks of each other. And, you know, when our ancestors came, you know, if you were German, you went to the German church and you did not go to the Irish church and the Polish church. And I think you get the idea.
Mm-hmm.
But the family today is really being stretched in all different kinds of directions. You know, even from our Holy Father, Pope Francis, he is very tuned to the fact that our faith has to have a centrality in a healthy and a good family. And so the church, our church, you know, puts a lot of emphasis on that. And bringing kind of the Catholic faith through the family. If we can have healthy families, then we'll have a healthy parish community, and those healthy families will help other families who are struggling. And at any time in a family's lifespan, they will go through different struggles, and there needs to be a framework, there needs to be a network, if you will, of other families who they are in close contact with, who can, you know, help them, who can pray with them, who can pray for them, and help them, you know, work through whatever difficulty they're experiencing at this time in their life.
Mm-hmm. Reverend Odgren is nodding her head in agreement. Would you like to add something?
Well, I think if you look at Christianity in North America, we are an immigrant church.
Yeah.
You know, I'm smiling as you're mentioning your church's history with Italian roots and Irish roots and Polish roots. And, you know, the ELCA, of course, then is more of the Scandinavian countries and German roots. And, you know, and that's where people, of course, found community then as they immigrated to our country to speak the same language, to be able to gather with those who they understood and how they could understand then, you know, the church in their own context, language context. And, of course, we know culturally that's changed. But I think that that deep sense of caring community that you're mentioning, Jack, is exactly, you know, what people are yearning for and are really searching for. And so that doesn't change, even though cultural shifts have happened, you know, that caring community, that need to belong, that sense of wanting others to be able to lean on and, you know, share their joys and their struggles with is timeless.
Mm-hmm. I know that, you know, Pope Francis has mentioned how we are most human when we're with other humans.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We are not human when we are by ourselves. And, you know, I like I had told, you know, before we were on the air this morning, I really wish that my schedule would allow me to be in studio with you because, you know, as we're going through this very important topic, we need to be in most communion or be most human with each other. You know, right now I feel, you know, alienated here in my own little room here, you know, trying to, you know, bring forth the beauty that exists, you know, about the message of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, we appreciate you being on the phone, even though you can't be in the studio. Say, I want to remind listeners what we're talking about this hour. This is the West Side. We are talking about trends in churches in western Wisconsin. We're looking at national trends as reported by Pew Research, a study that shows, especially among millennials, less of a participation in organized religion. The number to call in is 1-800-228-5615. It looks like we had some callers dial in before. We might be having some technical difficulties, but keep trying. We can get the message relayed to the studio. Also, if you want to go to our Westside Facebook page and write a comment there, I'll be happy to share it on the air. So I wanted to touch on this community, this need to belong. It's an interesting concept and makes sense, but you've also seen a shift away in the last 40 years of people belonging to social groups or to, you know, the Masons, the Elks, what you name it. They're hungry for new blood, but fewer people are doing that. Is this because people are getting their community now in the form of a small little piece of glass that fits in their pocket, their phone, Reverend Odgren?
That's certainly one place that is a big cultural shift with the advent of the internet and with all of the technology and devices that come along with that is that, you know, many have written about that we're the most connected and yet disconnected culture of to all times. And so even though we are very connected to one another through social media and so forth, there's still that craving for face-to-face contact and the true caring that Jack spoke about earlier, wanting, you know, people to have a close network of those who they could pray with, who they know are there to support them through family joys and family struggles and so forth. So I think even though we're very connected, there leaves a lot of room for how that connection is being made. And I think the church is a place where that face-to-face contact and then that deep sense of the tough questions of life can be shared together.
I hate to harp on it too much, but I'm thinking that the generational age definitely plays a role here. Could you ballpark, Reverend Odgren, give me What is the average age of a person in your congregation?
Well, I know in the ELCA, I think the average age of our participating membership is in the early 60s. Mm-hmm. And so I think the Pew Research came out with the median age within the U.S. is 38, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that our congregations are not a reflection of the median age within the culture we live.
Sure.
So.
Mm-hmm. And what about at the diocese, Jack Felsheim? Do you have that kind of data?
Yeah. Well, you know, as we look at and especially if you mention the diocese, because for your listeners that aren't aware of what the Catholic Diocese of La Crosse involves, it's really the landmass that is the 19 counties on the western side of Wisconsin. We go from Prescott to the north, right at where the St. Croix and the Mississippi River join, down to Pere de Chine on the very southern point of our diocese. And then if you complete it's kind of a triangulation, but if you complete that over to Wausau, that makes the landmass in that area. So we have 160 churches, 160 parishes that call themselves or that are members of the Diocese of La Crosse. So, you know, as we look at that, we have, you know, some communities are blessed, like Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls, you know, there's also three churches, and it gives kind of the different dynamics of the congregations as they form or the parishes as they form. It gives a little bit of kind of a spirit, it gives the perspective of what we have. I know at St. Charles Borromeo Parish in Chippewa Falls, Father Shuttleworth is kind of taking the approach that Reverend Ogren was speaking of, and really developing small groups, faith-sharing groups of people who intentionally get together over the period of 8 to 12 weeks, depending on the program and how it's set up, and you really form a relationship, you form, you know, that friend, that community, that camaraderie that you really can't get anywhere else. And it's inspired by the love of Jesus Christ and the understanding of the church, but it allows people to find that centering, to find that homing that so often is lacking. You know, like we had said in a small piece of glass that you can hold in the palm of your hand, the relationships that you form, you know, through people at church are relationships that will carry you through your life.
Absolutely. With that, let's go to the phones. We've got our first caller of the morning. We're going to go to Spooner. Claire, did I get that right, Claire?
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
I just want to say that it's really exciting to hear this topic being talked about on public radio. I'm in the process of traveling to St. Paul to go to Luther Seminary for my convocation for celebrating our, you know, just the seminarians. And so as the member of the Lutheran Church, the ELCA, and the children's ministry director at a church in Plymouth, Wisconsin, we are really dealing with the same kinds of things that everybody's dealing with, which is declining numbers. And the thing that I've been focused on in the time that I've been working as a children's ministry director, which I've been doing for the last 10 years, is really how to make this, what we do at church on a weekly basis be relevant in people's lives. And also to think about what God's purpose, what's our purpose, what's God calling us to be and do. And I even take it down to the youngest level. I mean, that was what my children's message was about yesterday, was talking to the kids about how they're, what God is calling them to do and to be, and what God has gifted them to be. And I think that we as the church continue to draw, that's one of the things that we draw people to try and find something bigger than themselves. To focus on what's God's purpose in our life? What is God calling us to do? How do we hear God? You know, listening for God. Where do we hear His voice? And I think that's really important. And that's one of the reasons that I go back up to seminary on occasion, just to kind of reconnect and hear those things again for myself, so that I can take those things back to the place where I work people whom which I intersect with on a daily basis at my job, both as the children's ministry director and also as a coach at a local high school.
Excellent. Claire, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Reverend Ondgren, you know, that seems like a ticket to get someone excited about something bigger than themselves, to God's calling and all that. But first you have to get them in the door, don't you?
Not necessarily. I love what Claire has mentioned about working with even the smallest of children mm-hmm. to identify who they are as a child of God and what their purpose is. And, you know, we know that we've been told that the greatest thing that we could do is love of God and love of neighbor. And, you know, so that when children are raised with that idea in mind, they understand that they too are a part of the church.
And Jack Felsheim, as far as programs for the youngest kids, I mean, there's a number of programs depending on what church you're going to, whether it's a Lutheran church, Catholic church, what have you. Summer programs, I mean, is there outreach for youth, the youngest of the youth?
Yeah, well, absolutely. And Claire, thank you so much for that call, because you really spoke to some of the things that we were talking about earlier, but more importantly, making what we do relevant in 2016. Mm. You know, the things that our ancestors did as church, as community, you know, as we talked about, as you were coming to the United States and you could only speak Polish, and you loved to come to church because everybody that spoke Polish came to church and was speaking Polish. Today, there's different needs of the 2016 generation, I guess you could call it, and it's important that we keep listening to what those needs are and engage people. You know, whether it be the very young, like, you know, Rich, you had talked about, but also to answer your question, you said, but don't you have to get them in the door?
Right.
Think about, you know, how the church, how Christianity formed in its very beginning. You know, when Jesus Christ was walking on the earth, He didn't set up a church and, you know, put out a sign and said, you know, come here, you know, and He went out into the community. He went out to people, and it was that personal invitation. You know, He tapped you on the shoulder and He said, follow me. And they did. And I think it's important for us to remember that our faith is a gift. You know, the fact that we are able to believe in something bigger than ourselves, that's a gift. And when you're given a gift, you know, you first thing you want to do is you want to tell people about that gift. And you also want to share your gift that you've been given. And, you know, so the more we can do that, you know, you're right, Rich, though. We have to get them in the door, but when they come in the door, they're coming in the door for a reason, mm-hmm. because they understand that what's going on inside that place is something that I want to be part of. I mean, think about your favorite restaurant, you know, that you go to, and some friends come to town, and they're like, hey, Rich, let's go out. And you're like, oh, well, you know, and you know right where you want to take them. Mm-hmm. And because you've been there before, because, you know, it's you know, it's something that you're willing to and you believe in. So the same would be with your parish community. You yourself, you know, need to feel alive, need to feel inspired. And then when your friends come over or, you know, you're out and about, you're going to say, yeah, let's go over to St. Olaf because, you know, this is where I go and Father Hoffman is great. And, you know, I'd like you to meet Father Hoffman, you know, or if you're younger, you know, maybe it's Father Audenhoven at Newman. And, you know, if you're one of the students at campus and you've come to the Newman Center, you're going to ask your friends and you're going to say, hey, you know, you really should meet this Father Audenhoven. He's a brand new priest and he's just got something that you need to hear. But it's that type of engagement, that we really need to listen to what our people need. Whether it be the very young, whether it be the young families, you know, whatever stage in your life, listen to what the needs are and then respond through Christianity the best we can.
Reverend Nodgren.
Yeah, and I think, Jack, what you're really saying, too, here is it's not only inside the doors of the church, but what the church does is equips and tries to sustain folks in living their faith in daily life. And so that not only do people identify with a particular church leader, but the way they live their life is showing to other people, you know, that excitement, that groundedness, that authentic type of character. And that's important, too. So living your faith in daily life is what the church is about.
I'll tell you, we've got a lot of excitement on the phone lines here, too. We've got two callers waiting right now. We're going to hear in a bit from Pastor Randy in Forest. And then we've got Jack and Eau Claire. Hang tight. We are going to take our first break. This is the West Side. We're talking about a trend in American churches, a declining trend, especially among millennials. We're asking whether or not churches in Western Wisconsin are seeing the same thing. We're joined in studio by Reverend Amy Odgren. She's a pastor at the newly formed Spirit Lutheran Church in Eau Claire. Jack Felsheim is on the phone from La Crosse. He's the director of communications for the Catholic Diocese of La Crosse. I'm Rich Kramer. This is the West Side. We'll be back in just a bit.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio is provided by the Lee Esther News Fellowship, providing early career journalists the opportunity to learn hands-on reporting, editing, and broadcasting in a professional setting as part of the WPR News Department. Support also comes from the Minnesota Marine Art Museum in Winona, presenting 10 exhibitions per year and home to masterworks by Monet, O'Keeffe, and Leutze's Washington Crossing the Delaware, mmam.org.
I'm Rich Kramer. You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us this Monday morning. We're talking about churches in Western Wisconsin and trends in demographic changes at those churches. Fewer young people are seeking out organized religion these days, according to Pew Research. But at the same time, they're saying they're feeling more spiritual. So how does one bridge the gap between religion and the spirituality, or should it even be bridged? I guess my guests would say probably yes. I'm joined in studio by Reverend Amy Odgren, and Jack Felsheim is a communications director for the Catholic Diocese of La Crosse. He's joining us on the phone. 800-228-5615. We've got phone lines open for you. Let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go to Forest, and we've got Pastor Randy on the phone. Pastor, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Good morning. I'm really enjoying this conversation. I've been a pastor for over 40 years. I pastor a small interdenominational church in the non-existent community of Forest, Wisconsin.
Sure.
A very, very, very small little place. But I love what's happening around us because what I see is the pressures of demographics and cultural changes are really pressing the church to reinvent itself. We're always going to have our core values. We're always going to be loyal to the creeds and our truths. But at the end of the day, what I'm loving about this conversation is it's forcing us to reinvent how we do church and how we carry that into our communities. So that's my comment, and I'll back off and listen to the responses.
Before you do, I'd like to ask you a question that I'll also put to my guests on the show today. How do you balance the need to change, to attract younger people with tradition? Is it a simple one-line answer? I bet not.
No, it couldn't be. I think, I'm going to be 63 this year, and what it's forcing me to do is to just stay on my toes, to travel lightly in terms of what I refuse to change about and to carry deeply the things that I care deeply about, and to listen to my congregants, listen to the millennials, who are, I think, really at a lively point spiritually. And I think if they can connect with us as Christians and as churches, we'll meet them in that spirituality. I think the results could be phenomenal, really, down the road. Right now, we're in the midst of some birth pains, but I really see great things coming from meeting them where they're at in their spirituality. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
It makes sense. It's a great comment. Reverend Ondgren, your take on what Pastor Randy just shared.
I think you bring a great point forward, and that is that we need to be prepared to listen deeply, and beyond that, be ready to hear and maybe take a few knocks about how, you know, what it is that we have said we have wanted to be as the church, and perhaps we need to heed some of the things that young folks are telling us and some of the millennials are telling us. One of the things that First Lutheran Church and Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Eau Claire did was to try to dream together about how could we be the church in this new age? How could we work together? How could we truly be in cooperation with one another who are from the same tribe, so to speak? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were very intentional about collaboration, and what resulted in a year-long process of working together, worshiping together, doing our Christian education together was that we decided we were stronger together than either one of us was on our own. And so we formally consolidated with a vote that occurred in both congregations in June, and then we formally became a new congregation, Spirit Lutheran, in November. And it's been an exciting time, but I think what that has shown to people is that we were willing to not compromise any of our core values and the tenets that, you know, are true to our Lutheran identity, but that we were willing to become anew and trust that, you know, we have a God who is pretty good at resurrection. So, you know, we've lived into that. And I think that says something to some of the millennials who are with us still and who actually took key leadership roles in some of this process and this movement that we were about within this last year.
A lot of change, a lot of listening, a lot of hearing, says Amy Ondgren, with the consolidation of the churches in Eau Claire, which is now Spirit Lutheran. Jack Felsheim, I want to talk to you about tradition. You know, the same question to you, how do you attract younger people while maintaining tradition? You know, there's a lot of ritual also in some of the church practices. So is that something that'll have to be addressed, or can you spice it up for younger people, or do you need to? Or I'm rambling here, but
no, absolutely. I mean, these are all questions that, you know, we are also, you know, talking about, you know, as the Lutheran Church is in Eau Claire as well, and trying to figure out. One thing we do know is that there is not a one size fits all solution to, you know, what we're seeing, you know, through the study that you brought to us today, and what we're also noticing when we look out, you know, in our congregations. But I think that the millennials are just like any other, you know, grouping of age groups. They're more than willing and expect that we are delivering the truth, you know, the truth about the faith and the truth about Jesus Christ. You know, the truth is always something that our bishops are always focusing on, and the truth is what is the beauty, and that's the beauty that, you know, everyone is made to see. You know, and how do we deliver the truth? You know, what's the format that we use for delivering the truth, especially to some of the younger generation? You know, this last year, all of our parishes have gotten the My Parish app, you know, for their mobile devices. It comes on the phone, it comes on the tablet, anything that runs an app. Now they can, you know, listen to their pastor's homily, they can read the bulletin, they understand when Mass times are, they can put in prayer reminders, plus they can connect with the bigger church and get international news and news around the diocese, and the bishop's blog is on the app. And I know that a lot of the millennials, you know, we were talking to Father Audenhoven there at Newman Parish in Eau Claire, We have a Newman presence in La Crosse here, Stevens Point, and also in Menominee. You know, they're all, I mean, you know, yeah, the young people, everybody's, like we had talked about, with your families, you're dispersed, you're, you know, you're picking up someone here. But I think a lot of us notice that we have 1 or 2 or 5 minutes of this kind of awkward middle downtime where, you know, we occupy ourselves with our device, and why not have some good Catholic, good Christian content that that we can read about, you know, while we're waiting for, you know, our child to be done with their music lesson or with their sports practice or whatever.
That is fascinating to me. The diocese, or to have an app for church where you can listen to a sermon or whatever. That is fascinating to me. See, we've got a caller that's been on the line for a little while now. Jack in Eau Claire, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just called to say that I was raised Catholic, oldest of 10 kids. I was an altar boy, 8 years of Catholic school, 10 years of Jesuit high school and college and graduate school, and I no longer believe in God. I've had a series of serious setbacks in the last 10 years or so, and they've really shaken my faith in the existence of God, and I've given up. I really don't see what your guests are talking about. I don't see any evidence to be joyful or to cling to any of that any longer. It's to me just so much noise.
Sure. Well, thank you for the call and sharing your thoughts and your feelings. So, Jack Felsheim, here we've got a person who, you know, I guess you could say got the full dose growing up, and you know, life happens, terrible things happen to good people. What would you say to Jack and Eau Claire?
Well, Jack, we share the same name, so you know, I certainly find that kind of interesting. But at this point, you know, I would invite you, encourage you, pray that you will.
I believe we lost our Jack Felsheim. Reverend Odgren, could you pick up that point? You know, here you've got a person who had been through all of the steps that, historically speaking, you would think that they would stay within the religious experience at his church, but yet stuff happens, and he's doesn't believe, he's given up. I'm sure you've heard similar things from people within your circles. What do you say to someone like that?
Well, I hope that Jack has some people in his life who surround him with their care in the midst of his pain and of his challenges that he struggles with the church. Because I think that it's not, you know, there's no magic bullet, but that it's through a caring community and those around you who can express the love for Christ through their words and through their actions toward Him. You know, there again, I think that the church is not there to stand waiting for people to come into the doors. But the church is about people who are living their Christian faith in their lives, and that means being community for one another outside of the doors of the church as well. So my hope is that Jack has caring, loving people around him who, you know, perhaps at some point he'll see the love of Christ shining through them.
Absolutely. With that, let's take our final break of the morning. We've got about 15 minutes left. We're talking about trends in churches in western Wisconsin and the nation as a whole, changes in demographics, younger folks less likely to go to church, but sounds like the churches are hard at work trying to figure out how to reach those folks and connect their spirituality that they feel with a religious community. 800-228-5615 is the number to call. We'll be back with more West Side in just a bit.
As you enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio today, enjoy the knowledge that as a member, you make it possible. Your gift, combined with the gifts of your fellow members, makes up the single largest piece of our budget. We can't say it often enough. Thank you so much for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Support for WPR comes from Wisconsin Dells, indoor water parks and theme parks, dining and outdoor recreation. More is at wisdells.com and on the Wisdells To Go app. Wisconsin Dells, the water park capital of the world. Support also comes from the UW-Eau Claire Forum Series. Eric Hipple talks about breaking down the stigma surrounding depressive illnesses. February 3rd at Schofield Auditorium. Details at uwec.edu/activities.
You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us this Monday morning. We're talking about a Pew Research study that suggests fewer people, especially millennials, are going to church. And we're talking about whether that trend is true in Western Wisconsin. Our guests tell us that it has been true, and they are working on ways to reach out and get new members as we speak. Part of that, consolidation. Part of that is listening. Part of that is apps. Who would have thought? 800-228-5615 if you've got a question or a comment. Our guests today, Jack Belsheim. He's the Director of Communications at the Catholic Diocese of La Crosse. Jack, just to make sure, we got you. You still there?
I am right here, Rich.
All right. Great. And joining us in studio is Reverend Amy Odgren. She's the pastor at the newly formed Spirit Lutheran Church in Eau Claire. I'd like to talk very quickly about the consolidation. You already mentioned a little bit about it, Reverend Ongren. Spirit Lutheran Church, newcomer of sorts, a combination of two congregations from the communities that came together. So when did the process finally wrap up? It was in November, or?
We had a year-long process, yeah, of getting to know one another, really exploring deep questions about identity and our purpose and how we might work together. We had many, we called them dream teams, in particular areas of ministry that worked together to imagine if we came together, what could we do? What would our ministry look like, mm-hmm, in areas such as outreach and mission? And what would the facility look like? What would Christian education look like and faith formation? What would worship look like? So in those particular ministry areas. And then we each came to a congregational vote. The way the ELCA is established, the polity, is that congregations have control about, mm-hmm, who they are as establishing, you know, their ministries. And so each congregation took a congregation vote, and that was a positive outcome. We're told that it was overwhelming at both congregations. And we formally then became a new congregation on November 1st.
All right. Now, there are all kinds of legal aspects to this. I mean, both church congregations owned property, et cetera. How does all that get sorted out?
Do you know, in our case, we kept feeling like doors just opened and kept opening and kept opening some more. And that is, in fact, how we came to name our new congregation as Spirit Lutheran. Hmm. We felt very strongly that this was Spirit-led. And quite frankly, we don't think that humans could have dreamed this up and done it so quickly. It just doors kept opening. You're right. One of the things that is difficult is when there are properties that are owned. And yet, First Lutheran, which had the largest of the facilities and the oldest of the facilities of both of the congregations, was approached by the Boys and Girls Club of the Greater Chippewa Valley to purchase our facility. Mm-hmm. And there again, a sign for us that This was the Holy Spirit at work. And so that made it, I guess you could say, somewhat less challenging because we had a buyer for one of the properties.
Surely.
And yet we understand that in the future, Spirit Lutheran needs its own footing and leg in the community. And so most likely there'll be another facility someday, but we're not focusing on that. We're focusing on our purpose in identifying who Spirit Lutheran is at this time.
Now, so both congregations are now one, mm-hmm. and is there another pastor involved, or did one pastor have to go to a different location?
You know, sometimes imagining a new future happens when there's transition, mm-hmm. and our Savior's was in the position of having an interim pastor at the time.
Oh.
They were in the transition of pastoral leadership and had, you know, the great guidance of a good interim pastor who led them through this process in partnership with me as the pastor at First Lutheran Church. And then the congregational leadership at that time, you know, felt like this other pastor's gifts were in interim ministry and could be offered up then to other congregations in the area. And then they voted to call me as a one-year term call. That means I'll be with them for at least a year through this transition process, and then we'll see where we're at.
All right. 800-228-5615 is the number to call. We're talking about declines in church attendance, especially by young people, and what local churches in western Wisconsin are doing to try to regain the attendance that they had decades ago. 800-228-5615. Jack Falsheim, I wanted to ask, does the Catholic Diocese of La Crosse have situations like this where churches are, you know, they're shrinking, so are there consolidations within the diocese?
Well, I was just kind of beaming, you know, ear to ear as I was listening to Reverend Argren, because in Stevens Point, in July of last year, two of our parishes merged together to form Holy Spirit Parish. And it seemed like it was on much a kind of a similar path. St. Stanislaus Parish in Stevens Point, a longstanding parish, you know, in the community, and literally one block away, the Newman Center, the Newman Parish that was serving on the campus there at Stevens Point, you know, really did kind of ask those difficult questions, kind of ask the questions of how can we as a parish community be most effective. You know, we have one of the communities, the Newman community, was more transient, you know, with the changing of the semesters and the students year over year. Mm. You know, St. Stanislaus was a longstanding, I guess you might want to call it, Rich, kind of a classic Catholic community. And so the two really, you know, kind of joined arm in arm to more effectively discover who they are as church, and also, you know, be more effective at engaging those that are around them that need engagement. This is really, I think, listening to, you know, what's going on, responding to what's in front of us, and utilizing our resources really to the greatest glory and honor of God that we possibly can.
Now, Jack Falsheim, I want to stick with you because I found an amazing trove of data from the Center for Applied Research in the Apostolate, I hope I pronounced that right, at Georgetown University, basically a study of Catholic churches going back to 1965. I'm just wondering, we're talking about declining trends in attendance of churchgoers, but I'm noticing the trends, number of priests from 1965 to 2014 nationwide, down by roughly 20,000 in the U.S., a number of parishes down slightly, and number of parishes without full-time priest pastors up from 549 back in 1965 to 3,000, nearly 3,500 in 2014. Is it getting harder to find folks to go into seminary or into the to become a pastor?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Rich, you're right, and you really just kind of discovered the tip of the iceberg. You know, the church has been studying, you know, what's going on for the last 2,000 years. And if you look at the organization, you know, it's longstanding, and there, I mean, to talk about a treasure trove of information, you can go back and back and back and back. You know, I'm not a scripture scholar, but Reverend Argren can probably, you know, give the citing on this, but we know that the harvest is great and the laborers are few.
Sure.
You know, and then the beckoning that follows that is, come with me into the fields. You're also right. I mean, the clergy, you know, there has been some decline in our headcounts. But I would tell you that right now there's 30 young men who are in seminary for the Diocese of La Crosse. And over the last 5 years, we've been blessed that we ordained 10 new priests. You know, and one of the new priests is right there in the Eau Claire area, Father Dan Oudenhoven. He was ordained just a few years ago. And also Father Charlie Richmond. He's at St. Charles Borromeo Parish in Chippewa Falls, serving with Father Shuttleworth. He was ordained just last year. And so there is some new life. There's definitely new blood. There's new energy. There's new perspective. You know, there's new imagination. And the church is very alive, very much.
With that, we have one last call that we can take today, and we can get Pete on the air. Pete from Chippewa Falls, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I am. I guess I was raised Catholic as a youngster. Been married 30 years. Mm-hmm. My wife was a little bit more strict Catholic. We do attend St. Charles in Chippewa Falls. Okay. My wife more on a regular basis than myself. When I attend Mass, I almost know the Mass that's going to be held. I've heard it before. It's so ritualistic, even towards the major events, whether it be Easter, Christmas, whatever it may be. And typically, I think what we want to hear is that individuals are going to hear a message of helping others in the community. What can the church do to help others? You know, teen pregnancy, so forth.
Sure.
You don't hear a lot of that.
Okay. I have to stop you right there because we are so close to the top of the hour. Jack Felsheim, what about that? We touched on it a little bit earlier, but the ritual, do you think younger people or people these days in general are kind of getting tired of that?
Yeah, well, Pete, first of all, when next time you're there, just shout out to Father Richmond. He's a good friend of mine. So anyway, yeah, the ritual, I think the church, the Catholic Church especially, I think is often seen as a ritualistic one. One kind of an insight that I heard about that is it can be kind of like the little child, you know, who likes to hear that same, you know, same verse, likes to, you know, and do it again, do it again, do it again.
Sure, there's comfort in that.
And I think you know and you understand that, but from that comfort, you know, from that dependability, from that stability, you know, that's where now manifestations of, well, what are we going to do about the things that we see all around us? And we're doing all these things not because the people that need help are Catholic, but because we're Catholic. And we're Christian, and we understand that in the name of Jesus Christ, we're going out to all the world, telling the good news, helping those who need help. That would be my response.
All right. Thank you so much. This is a conversation that we could go on and on with. I really appreciate the help from Jack Felsheim. He's the Director of Communications for the Catholic Diocese of La Crosse. Big thanks to Reverend Amy Odgren, pastor at the newly formed Spirit Lutheran Church in Eau Claire. A lot of great calls, a lot of great questions and comments. We appreciate all of them. Next week, we'll be back to talk about charter and private schools getting voucher dollars, increased state aid here in western Wisconsin. I'm Rich Kramer. Have a safe and productive week. Take it easy, shoveling the snow tomorrow. We'll chat again next Monday morning.